Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Thanks for hanging out. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score. Cam Newton is a Panther. Ron Rivera traded for a Panther quarterback when he took the job in Washington, and it wasn't Cam Newton. We'll talk to Chico about that coming up at 4:30, an insight into Cam Newton's health. And we'll talk big picture stuff with Ron Rivera. Your friend Mac is a very socially conscious man. He is a leader of men. He is a minority in a minority-majority sport, but at a position of head coach that doesn't have a lot of minority candidates and coaches, or at least they got candidates, but they don't have anyone, many guys getting the job. So he has been leading the social justice conversation, one of the leaders throughout the NFL. So we're going to talk some football and talk some real life with Ron Rivera coming up in 30 minutes.
Always look forward to talking with Rivera, a member of the Junkyard Dogs, Danny, and Mark Grody's so disappointed. Ron wanted to join us last week. He said it's going to be tricky, but I'll try both Thursday and Friday. Spent, you know, almost felt like an hour both days exchanging text messages with him as he was getting out of Zoom meeting. So Grody was crushed that he did not get the opportunity, but he did get to thank Dave Wannstedt for the 1994 playoff victory over the Minnesota Vikings. So all was not lost for Moby Ditka. At least he got a little blue and orange love in. And I would say today regarding the Bears, congratulations on it's not the obvious move because not everybody's done it as of yet, but the Bears are offering a refund to their season ticket holders if they want to take a pass on this season, and I think that is a good thing. I was not expecting that from the Bears. I expect it from some teams, not necessarily them, but they made that announcement, and I think that is a reasonable announcement to make because they didn't have to do it. There was nothing where they were required to do that, but they were proactive about it, and I think for it, I'll give them credit.
Yeah, I think that there's certainly nothing to admonish them for it. We've been talking about ticket sales in that sport for a long time. Like, I will be very, 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 very surprised if we're at a point where NFL stadiums can be at anywhere near capacity come September. So anywhere, right? And we're doing a great job in Chicago, but there's a big difference between 8,000 people at Wrigley Field and 68,000 people at Soldier Field. So yeah. So my guess is they're going to have to do it based on the pandemic, right? Like, they're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart.
There will be if the NFL follows what, you know, the Cubs are planning on having 8,000-ish people come in.
Yeah.
The White Sox are going to have some fans there, you know, because like you said, locally it's been pretty good in terms of keeping the curve down. So why wouldn't I don't know. I mean, unless the NFL says, well, we're just, you know, it's universally no fans in the stadium. I don't see the NFL doing that. I see the NFL being every bit as aggressive as Geno Smith is, the athletic director at Ohio State, who said, I don't know, 6 weeks ago already, that you can plan on seeing 30,000 people in the horseshoe this year?
I'm just saying.
That's 30% capacity.
Right. I'm just saying that so the season ticket base of the NFL is huge. It's a majority season tickets, you know. So they're not going to – if the NFL could not say the only people who come to our games are season ticket holders, the fans would be – the stands would be almost full. Right. So I just – my guess is there is – whatever number is allowed at Bears games in the fall, if we get Bears games in the fall, that number that's allowed will be smaller than the number of Bears season tickets that there are.
Certainly.
So giving people the opportunity on the front end to, hey, if you know you don't want to come to Bears games this year, we'll give you your money back. That feels preemptive to me. Because like, I don't know. Maybe this information is readily available. Shep, you could do a search if you wouldn't mind. Like, what percentage of Soldier Field is season ticket holders? Do we know? Like, how many season tickets are sold for the Bears?
I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, for some teams, you know, it's in the 90 percentile of tickets, right? Like Lambeau Field, it's all season ticket holders. So I don't know what the number is for the Bears, but my guess is it's a huge percentage that is way larger than any reasonable number of people that are going to be allowed at a North American sporting event anytime soon. So,
yeah, but we're 2 months out. And, you know, I mean, and they're making the announcement now. I think it's pat on the back worthy. And I don't do that with the Bears too often. So please indulge me. Just a little bit of love for Team McCaffrey.
Yeah, I mean, I am. Yeah, you could pat them on the back for anything you want. I'm just saying my guess is every team in the league is going to be doing it. And so good job by being proactive. I'm with you on that. I'm agreeing with what you're saying. What I'm saying is, if we get football and if we get fans in the stands for football, there's no way that we will get every season ticket holder allowed in the stands for football. So it's probably going to be a moot point. There will probably be people who have season tickets who want to go to the games that will not be allowed to go to the games because of the pandemic. So this is proactive. And yes, you meant Gene Smith at Ohio State, not Geno Smith, the former quarterback from West Virginia and the New York Jets.
Correct. Gene Smith. I didn't even notice I called him Geno until I saw the texter pop in a second
ago. It's all good.
Geno Smith is the Ohio State AD now?
It's a good job. It's a good job.
Yes,
for
it
Geno.
Is. Wow, that's incredibly rapid ascent to the top of a profession of being a sports administrator. He's not been out of the league that long. He's already the AD at Ohio State, huh?
8 minutes into the McNeil and Parkins poll question on Twitter, hundreds of votes being cast. Was Rose in Titanic selfish, yes or no? 89% of the audience reporting that yes, Rose was selfish. And you could take that in a number of ways, because some people are talking about a Mythbusters television show episode in the comments that showed that the mass of Jack and Rose on that door would have been enough to sink the door, so it was one or the other. There were other things that she was selfish about. She said she would never let go, and then she let go. She had the Hope Diamond. She did not allow her grandchildren to profit off of this tremendous piece of wealth. There's a lot of things that were pointing to Rose only looking out for number one. 89%.
Yeah, although she did decide to walk away from money and her overbearing mother. So, you know, it would have been very easy for her to stay with Cal. What the hell is that actor's name? Was that Billy Zane played Cal?
There you go.
Billy Zane. He was not likable at all. They did that on purpose, I think, but it would have been very easy based on her upbringing to just keep up appearances and stay with that loser. But she decided to go with a guy who, you know, with her heart. So for that, she should be applauded, I believe. But there were selfish acts, certainly.
And no one's perfect, right? I'm just saying she gets romanticized as this. She did a lot of things, and she got really lucky with that axe swing. Like, I'd love to know an alternate version of events that happens where Rose closes her eyes, swings that axe, and cuts Jack's arm off. How does the movie end in that scenario?
And if you're wondering what in the world led you got these guys to a conversation about the movie The Titanic today, it's Dan Dierdorf's birthday. How does that make sense, Mac? What does Dan Dierdorf? He loves The Titanic.
I, I want to get him on. Let's add it to the list of goals. Let's get
why in the world they equipped that boat with so few lifeboats, I'll never understand.
Let's get him on for score stories, but really it's just an elaborate ruse to get him to talk about the Titanic. Everything about it.
That's right.
Whatever he likes, whatever he cares about. All right, so Ron Rivera will join us coming up in 15 minutes or so, but this is making the rounds because there's a documentary on the decision with LeBron and LeBron's decision to go to Miami and teaming up with Wade and Bosch and forming the Big Three, and they go to four straight finals and win a couple of titles before LeBron goes back to Cleveland. So there's a documentary about the backstory of the decision, and our buddy Nick Friedell and Brian Windhorst recorded a podcast on all of it because there is stuff that's coming out about Chicago as being linked, right? And we knew about, you know, the tie-in with Wade and the recruiting pitch and needing to get rid of Luol Deng and Rose and recruitment and all of that. But this is, after all this journalism was done on the backstory of the decision 10 years later, and it's crazy that it's been 10 years since it's happened, here's the Chicago component of what we know about this monumentous basketball decision that shaped the NBA for a decade plus and how close it was to actually happening in Chicago.
So they pitched LeBron, Wade, and Bosch the same day the Nets did. As they're flying back, Avery tells me that he's talking to Rod Thorne on the plane. And by the way, Jay-Z didn't go to Chicago. Jay-Z went and got in a different plane. And, you know, I don't know if he went to New York or wherever, but he didn't. Wade and Bosch didn't get Jay-Z, just LeBron. but Avery told me that when he and Rod Thorne were talking, and they were like, these guys aren't coming to New York. They're going to play together. They didn't know where, but Avery was like, these guys are going to play together. That was, so Avery had that read. And I will say this about Avery. Avery was the first guy in the league to tell me, like, LeBron's going back to Cleveland. So Avery has got a good read for this kind of stuff. So anyway, that night, the Heat fly to Cleveland because they're getting ready to pitch LeBron the next day. The velvet bag, Bosch said it looked like a Crown Royal bag that Riley was carrying his rings in. Henry Thomas, Wade's agent, calls the Bulls and says, hey, Dwayne wants another meeting tomorrow. And Nick, do you remember, what do you remember about this where the Bulls weren't even sure Wade was serious? Next thing you know, they want a sec. They're feeling good about Bosch because whatever was said. And now they get a call from Wade. Hey, let's have another meeting tomorrow.
There was that weekend, that first weekend, and there was a feeling certainly in Chicago that all of a sudden Bosch and Wade were on the way. To me, this is where the Bulls had two things working against them in the moment, aside from the fact that, as we learned much later, all three guys wanted to play together. One, Tom Thibodeau had just become coach of the Bulls. So while he had a great reputation around the league, and certainly these guys have all spoke glowingly over time about being able to talk basketball with him and the X's and O's, he wasn't Tibbs yet on a bigger platform. He hadn't developed that kind of head coaching reputation. And secondly, and most importantly to me, is the Derrick Rose factor. And Derrick famously in those years said, I'm rolling with Keith. Talking about Keith Bogans, because he was so loyal to Keith Bogans. I mean, people still laugh, but that is why Derrick Rose, if I could describe why Derrick Rose was so beloved in one story for his teammates, not just Keith Bogans, is because he was so incredibly loyal to the guys on his team and the guys he believed in. And he said, I'm rolling with Keith. And again, to this day, because this summer was so, so important on so many levels, the Bulls officials and the people that lived it, they always wonder if Derrick had taken more of the center stage approach in the recruiting aspect of things, would that have changed what ultimately happened?
It's such a crazy Chicago sports what if, Mac. And I, what's crazy about it too is Derrick Rose is in a damned if you do, damned if you don't spot there, because at the time, Friedell is exactly right. He is pre-knee injury, right? He is youngest MVP in the league and ascending to that level. Like, this is
homegrown superstar who is a throwback. He's a throwback to, no, Bird built it in Boston, Magic in L.A., Jordan right. in Chicago, right?
Like, right.
And LeBron gets criticized for, oh, he had to team up in Miami with Wade, and then these guys, you know, the Warriors, they orchestrate the super teams, and, like, that's a criticism. But at the time, Rose, like, I remember at the NBA All-Star game, he's introduced as a starter, and everyone was doing, like, elaborate dances on the stage, and he was just sitting there with, like, a killer mindset and meant like look just like stoic like I'm getting ready to ball, and people loved that about him. They're like, oh, he's Chicago, he's blue collar, he represents us, he doesn't sell out for LeBron and any of that nonsense. And then talk about a thought that has aged poorly, right? Because he's like, I want to side with Keith Bogans. LeBron does the decision, they do super teams, and then basically every championship for the most part has been, you either had guys with super teams or mercenaries. Like, oh, Kawhi Leonard for a year in Toronto. Right. LeBron and Wade and Bosh in Miami. Durant teaming up with Steph in Golden State. Like, ever since the decision, the league has been thoroughly dominated by dudes teaming up and having no loyalty to the place that they were. So his thoughts aged terribly, but at the time, they were basically universally applauded here in Chicago.
Yeah, they were. Now, that there have been those who have criticized Rose and other players for not being more proactive in the recruitment of a potentially game-changing free agent, and I understand that. But as you indicated, he's Superman at the time all of that was going on. For all he knew, he was going to be the guy on whom you could put a franchise and say, run with us. We're going to win because of you, and we're going to win for a long period of time. Why wouldn't he have thought that at the time? Could he have been a little bit more communicative? Maybe. But again, looking at the world through his eyes at the time, I understand it. And I do think there is some responsibility on a superstar player to be involved in free agent recruitment.
Yep.
Especially if you have a front office in whatever league you're talking about, whatever sport, that isn't particularly strong at it. And the Bulls, as we've discussed ad nauseum, have never been good. They've never landed that big fish in free agency, in franchise history. They just haven't done it. So the next superstar hopefully we'll be a little bit more proactive when it comes to trying to swing somebody. And as far as building a super team, I'm all for it. If anybody in any walk of life had the opportunity to work with people they liked and respected and thought it would be best for them for all of the right reasons to join forces, then you do that. And they were criticized for it. And, you know, as well as the decision to, you know, to do the decision and use the phrase, take my talents to South Beach. That was off-putting to a lot of people, and it remains the case 10 years later.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the biggest blemish of LeBron's career, it's a hell of a career, right? Oh, I did a television show for my free agency decision where I left my hometown and I raised $3 million for the Boys and Girls Club charity, and then I ended up going back to my hometown and winning them a title anyway. Like, so, like, yes, you're right. Like, there was criticism around it. It's just it aged very poorly from Rose. I agree with you. Like, nowadays, like, if the Bulls had the next D Rose, right, and they had that superstar, the young budding MVP, and they had the cap space, then yeah, I would be floored with what we've seen since if that guy took the mentality of, no, I'm not going to join recruitment. But at that time, when he hasn't won the MVP yet, but he's absolutely becoming that player, because remember, before he won the MVP, before that season, he called his shot that he was going to win MVP. So, like, this was a guy who knew, rookie of the year, he knew he was a superstar. There was no doubt in his mind that he was a superstar. And that was just how he was wired, and everyone applauded him for it. And so, it's a great Chicago sports what if. In the podcast and the corresponding news story, Bosh tells a story to your point about how, like, the Bulls front office needed its players to do it because they didn't have the front office gravitas. The Heat obviously were the exact opposite, right? They have Pat Riley, and the Crown Royal bag full of championship rings that Pat Riley just dumps out on the desk. And Bosch tells the story that he still has one of Pat Riley's championship rings because Riley gave him a ring at the recruitment meeting for free agency and said, give me back mine once you win one of your own here. He ends up winning two in Miami. Bosch asks him later on about the ring and claims that Pat Riley forgot about it. He has so
many
rings.
And he still has it?
That's what Bosch said. That Bosch,
give it back to him.
I agree. But apparently Pat Riley has forgotten about it.
Right. Come on, man. That's brutal.
Isn't that insane? Like, so Bosch has three rings. Two of his own with the Heat and one random one from Pat Riley in his free agency recruitment.
That's just not right.
It's not right. It's not right. But, yeah, I don't know. Where would that rank for you on, like, the – because for the Bulls' what-ifs, right, there's obviously what if they would have run it back in 99 and what if Jordan doesn't retire. Those are the two big ones for the 90s. Then for the 21st century, there's three of them as far as I know. It's like, what if the Bulls would have pulled off the trade for Kobe? What if Rose doesn't get hurt? And what if they land the super team? Like, we talk about Paxson, obviously entirely different. The Bulls maybe don't ever win a title with Rose, but they certainly get to 3-4 Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and maybe an NBA Finals a time or two also.
Yeah, I mean if they beat LeBron, they probably win a title in that period. And so like breaking through LeBron at that point was going to be the difficulty. But I mean they would have been there multiple years. Like they would have been a legitimate year over year rival with LeBron and the Heat. But they've had some crazy what ifs. Like very very close calls. Like always the bridesmaid, never the bride. When it comes to the 21st century, with whether it was Kobe or that recruitment. Or Derrick Rose. But very much looking forward to talking to Chico coming up here. He has insight into Cam Newton, who finally got a job with the Patriots. And he's been a leader as the NFL decides how they're going to move forward with their new, fresh approach to social justice initiatives. Ron Rivera going to join us next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Thanks for hanging out. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score. We're expected to talk with Ron Rivera coming up in a few minutes. He's the head coach of Washington's football team. And he was Cam Newton's coach. And in case you haven't heard, Cam Newton got a job with a coach you might have heard of, Bill Belichick of the Patriots. Signed for the veterans minimum 1-year deal, incentive-laden contract. He's had shoulder surgery on his throwing shoulder two of the last 3 years, and a Liz Frank surgery, which he hasn't played from since, which is broken bones and displacement in your foot. He was good in 2018 when healthy. He battled injuries that year. Ron Rivera traded a fifth rounder for Kyle Allen, so he could have traded for Cam Newton, didn't. And Cam obviously ends up getting released. Not much interest on Cam. My theory, Mac, is if the league thought Cam was healthy, he would have signed for multiple years with a lot of guaranteed money. So I read this as the league doesn't think Cam Newton is very healthy.
Yeah, I'd love to disagree. It'd be more interesting, but that's exactly what happened. If there were faith in his ability to be something close to what he was a few years ago, there would have been a multi-year deal somewhere, because teams need quarterbacks. That's not changed anytime recently, and I don't think it will ever down the road either. Quarterback's very, very important, and when you have a guy who is as good as he was in 2015, you're going to take that guy. See, Nick Foles a couple years later has, you know, does some heroic things, but for the short term, and he still has an opportunity to make a lot of money. He's been hurt some too. I won't beat up on the Bears for not. It is a. I was shocked. It's as cheap as it is, but that tells you where the level of confidence is right now in among NFL teams in Cam Newton's ability to stay in one piece. They don't think he's got much left.
Yeah, it's why I think that the conversation about Cam or Foles is a false choice, because if Cam Newton was healthy, of course he's better than Nick Foles. Like, that's not even, it's not even a debate. But if Cam Newton was healthy, you'd be talking about Tampa, Carolina, Chicago, L.A., Indianapolis.
Yeah.
You'd be talking about so many teams that would have been interested in Cam Newton's services that we wouldn't be comparing him to these other guys, in my opinion. Like, he's that good and that dynamic when healthy, and that liked in many, many circles around the league who had gotten better as a passer in 2018 with Norv Turner when he was healthy. I said the stats earlier. Had the second highest quarterback rating of his career, only short of his MVP season. Had the highest completion percentage of his career. And that was with the back third of the season playing injured in over the course of 14 games. So, like, Cam Newton was adapting to Norv Turner's offense and looking like he was making some strides, and then he's been hurt ever since. So the league just doesn't turn its back on 31-year-old former MVPs who have that type of skill set if they have any doubt that he can play. So I don't think he's playing week one, personally. Like, I know you and I made the bet earlier, but if the league thought Cam Newton was ready to play week one, I think Cam Newton would have been signed well before June 28th.
Could be. You might be right. And, yeah, for those of you who didn't know, we had a $100 bet. Our first NFL
yes.
wager has been made. And I didn't read the text shortly after we had the conversation early on. Somebody texted us. Look forward to seeing how this plays out in 2021. The bet is for this football season. I would have a tremendous advantage if he had another year to heal up. It's for opening day of this year. And if there is no opening day this year, then the bet is null and void. I've not done any wagering of any type. Now, DraftKings is probably going to change that because they have all sorts of
oh, look
options.
At you.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So, yeah, so I look forward to that. We'll see what happens. I just. I don't necessarily like the alternative there, so I think Bill Belichick will go with Cam Newton.
Yeah, and if the NFL start to this season is delayed a couple of weeks, I'd say the bet is still on, and that would obviously help your case because you'd have a few more weeks to get healthy. But as long as there is a reasonable 2020 football season played, the bet happens. If the football season is scrapped, then obviously the bet itself will be scrapped. And I'm with you. I haven't made a single NFL futures bet simply because I don't want to tie up any money, right? Like, if you were going to make a bet on the Bears win total, and apparently Ron Rivera is ready, we'll give him a call here in a second and get him on. Like, why would I bet over 8.5 games if they might end up playing 12? like and tie up that money for the bet to just be refunded.
You know, there's qualifiers on all that too, that it's based on a 16 game schedule, and I'm sure bets would be refunded as soon as the league were to make an announcement it's going to have a truncated schedule. They can't.
That's what I'm saying though, so why not wait until right before the season starts? Yeah. Like, why, if you're going to make a $200 bet on the over, why tie up the $200 right now? Like, it just, yeah. You know what I mean? It doesn't seem to make much sense, personally.
Let's go to the nation's capital. He is a two-time NFL Coach of the Year and, of course, a key member of the 85 Woof Woof Bears, a junkyard dog forever. He is Washington head coach Ron Rivera, joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Ron, as always, thanks for the time. How are you feeling today, bud?
Doing good. Just, you know, excited, getting ready to finish up and get on break.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine that's the case. It's been a crazy spring and early summer. You mentioned to me earlier today you were on an NFL call. What does that mean? What can you share with us about what your afternoon was like today?
Well, we're just discussing, you know, the possible conversations that the league and the PA are having and trying to establish the guidelines, the protocols, the rules for us going forward.
Are you optimistic this is doable, Chico?
I am. I really am. They're really trying to do it the right way. You know, we're going through a lot of conversations with the Player Association. You know, the league and them are working very diligently to make sure they put, you know, all the safety precautions in place. They really do. I mean, this really is about making sure, you know, this really is about player safety and coaches and everybody. So I think they're trying to do things the right way.
Hey, Ron, I think we're all trying to figure out how to live with this pandemic, and we've seen it in some of the sports that have come back. There have been positive tests, but they've kept going. What has been your read on what the NFL's willingness is going to be for the inevitability of positive tests and how you're going to deal with that going forward?
Well, obviously, that's what they're working on, on best practices. As far as trying to mitigate those types of circumstances and situations as they arrive. I think that's one of the things that they're really working on, is to make sure they do those things and get that correct.
We're talking to former Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think
I knew I was going to be the first one to do it. $20 in the jar.
Hey, Danny Mack, yeah. I don't have a little panther in me.
Yeah, you do. I bet you do. You will have a little panther. At least we didn't call you the San Diego Chargers linebackers coach anymore.
Thank goodness.
At least you had a head coach on your – hey, Cam Newton winds up going to the New England Patriots. The league, $7.5 million, a one-year deal. You needed backup help. You decided to go out and get Kyle Allen and trade a late round draft pick for him instead. What do you suppose made 31 teams other than Bill Belichick shy away from Cam Newton? There's got to be a lot of uncertainty about his health going forward, I would think.
I think that's probably the biggest question mark, more so than anything else going forward. I would honestly, if the situation circumstances had allowed us, I would not have had any issue with that. I would have been very confident and comfortable in going after him and bringing him to be part of what we're doing here. Again, and to me, those circumstances would have been, going through an opportunity to see what we have in Dwayne. You know, because that's the one thing, is we've got a young quarterback drafted in the first round for a reason. A lot of people liked him. We liked him when we had an opportunity to evaluate him a couple of years ago, when he was coming out of the Ohio State. So, we've been in this tough situation because there's a number of veteran guys out there that we like, but we got to find out what we have in young guys. And that's the benefit of being a new head coach, is that we can go ahead and we can be patient. We can put these guys through workouts and get to know what we have and feel good about it or don't feel good about it, and then we've got to go out and make some changes. But until we get that opportunity to know what we have, it would have been very hard to bring a guy in who's had such a solid career, who was a league MVP at one time, and expect the young guy to get his chances to grow. So I just felt that, because of our circumstances, we could play this slow, and, good for him. He went to New England, which I think is going to be a great spot for him, and I think he's going to have a lot of success.
Have you talked to him? Do you have any idea of how healthy Cam is?
I hadn't talked to him recently, but just based on the stuff that I've seen and some of the people that I've talked with, he's headed in the right direction. I mean, he's probably about as healthy as it gets from what I've seen on video. So I think he's ready to bust out. I really do. I mean, I would never bet against the young man. That's for sure.
And so do you think there would have been more interest in him if the pandemic wasn't happening and more teams would have been able to work him out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that would have been one of the things. Because, you know, now you get a chance to see what he can do. So you can see him healthy again. And if he's, you know, and if he showed very well, yeah, I would not be surprised. I mean, you know, I had a couple ideas of some places I thought he would end up. They ended up going another direction. And the thing I heard was nobody got a chance to work him out and see whether or not he was healthy.
Ron, your relationship during your time with Cam Newton was primarily good. There was a hiccup or two along the way. You benched him for a dress code violation to start a ball game, but both of you have had nothing but good things to say about each other as you have gone separate ways. For those who are not fans of Cam Newton, for those who say he's selfish, he's a hot dog, and his best years are far behind him, what would you say to those people?
Don't bet against him. I really wouldn't. I mean, first of all, you got to know who he is and understand what he's gone through. And he's a guy that has always tried to do things, I think, because he's felt the pressure. He felt the pressure of being the number one pick. He's felt the pressure of having won the Heisman Trophy and being the number one pick. He's felt the pressure of being – a black quarterback, you know, and with all this stuff that's been heaped on him, and he's really had to find his way through it. And he's done a great job with it. And the thing that people see is how generous he is with his time and with young people. And I'm talking about, you know, high school, junior high, elementary school kids, how generous he is with his time and with his money and his efforts for those folks. I mean, that's the thing people don't see. You know, yeah, he is a hot dog. Yeah, he is. But he was having fun. You go back and look at the things that went on from his rookie season, you know, breaking the rookie pass. Now Andrew Luck broke it the next year after he said it, but he did that. And then you know, his third season in the league, he gets in the playoffs and we, you know, we win the division for the first time, and he had success in 14, he had success in 15. You know, he had a tough year in 16, came back in 17, and then the last couple of years he's been hurt. But, man, when he was healthy and playing, he's a dynamic player. So, you know, I hope he's healthy. I believe he's healthy from what I've seen. And I'm you know, I'm wishing him nothing but the best, because I think he really is a heck of a young man.
We're talking to Ron Rivera, Washington football coach, here on The Score. You mentioned Cam Newton being a black quarterback and dealing with that. There have been a lot of conversations in the sports world and in our country recently about race and racism in America. And I'm curious, as one of the few minority coaches in the NFL, what would you like to see the NFL do to make sure that there's better representation for minority coaches and executives?
Well, I think part of it is we got to make sure we can identify the talent, then mentor that talent, help develop that talent, make sure there's opportunities for that talent, make sure they're fair opportunities, and then give them the chance. You know, I think that's the one thing. One thing that's kind of stood out, and I think, and I believe it's still true, if you go back and you look at the percentage of minority head coaches in the league, and you look at their career success rate and compare that to all the other coaches and see what their career success rate, I still believe the minority coaches have a higher winning percentage or something like this. It's some stat that basically says that, you know, you got to give minorities opportunities. And they've got to earn them too. And that's the other thing too. They got to earn them. But you've got to create those opportunities and put it out there. Cause I'm telling you, there's some talented guys. I've been very fortunate to be around a number of them, and I've learned from a number of them. And I think that's the thing that can really help is making sure that these guys are identified. These guys are being mentored, and all coaches are being mentored, and just see what happens.
Ron, before the Panthers gave you your first head coaching opportunity, you interviewed for a handful of jobs around the league. Is it obvious to a minority candidate when he is clearly a Rooney Rule candidate and the league is just checking that box?
You know, I think it can be. I never felt that You know, obviously, and believe me, I would never know on the other side. But I never felt that. I always went in trying to earn those jobs. And I can tell you, you know, I felt like a couple of them were really to kick the tires to see what I'm about for future. You know, because a couple of times I know, you know, being a young guy like I was, that you know, I wasn't quite ready. But just the fact that I got the opportunity, I wanted to go ahead and do those things, you know, let them kick the tires. You know, some of the best interviews I had, you know, felt really good about coming away from them. And when I got debriefed, you know, when I reached out to the GMs and asked, hey, what happened? You know, what do I need to? You know, it was kind of a cold bucket of water on the head, you know, realizing that I wasn't as good as I thought. So, you know, there's a learning curve. And I think, you know, for me, getting the head coaching job that I did when I did in 2011, I was more than ready by then.
What type of conversations, you know, a football locker room is a diverse place, a lot of different backgrounds. What type of conversations around these issues have been having with your team, and are there any examples you can share of, you know, positive learning moments?
You know, it's like, well, I'll give you a great example. I mean, for Dwayne Haskins, you know, he and I text back and forth. We've talked a couple of times, and he went out to D.C. where there was obviously one of the major movements. And he had an opportunity to see what was going on and be part of it, you know, in a very positive and peaceful manner. And just talking to him afterwards and just kind of listening to him. And I think just the revelation of what he saw, what he learned, I think it really helped him. I really did. And again, I think it also helped him in the eyes of several of his teammates when they saw that, hey, he went down there. He got involved. That was pretty deep of him.
Ron, since the George Floyd murder and all the fallout, it's my understanding you have been very communicative electronically with your team about unity. What was your message to your football players and your staff?
Well, you know, it was a very tough situation. You know, mostly because, yeah, I did it over Zoom, and I felt awkward on Zoom. I'd much rather do it in person. But when we did do it, you know, it was about, hey, we all don't know. We, you know, some of us can empathize, but we're here to listen. We're here to understand. We're here to figure out what we need to do. But we also wanted to make sure we were going to take action, you know, because time for doing is now. And that's one of the things that we talked about. You know, we had a Zoom call to the organization. We had over 300 people on it. So we decided, you know, I would just make some comments. And then we were going to have these five town halls where we put about 50 to 60 people in each one of them so that they could talk and they wouldn't talk over each other. And they were led by some of our leaders. We have a sports psychologist. We have a pastor, our director of player development. Myself, Doug Williams, a young woman who's one of our coaches, a lady named Jennifer King, who's actually was a retired police officer. You know, so we were in these things and we had a chance to talk to and listen. And that was probably the thing. I think that a lot of people just wanted to be heard. And what we're trying to do is find out what we can do. What actions can we go out? How can we get into the community to help with the Black Lives Matter movement and help with the with the relationship between the police officers and the community and fix that and figure out the best way to help because you know we've got to make sure that what happened to George Floyd doesn't ever happen again.
Ron, given all of these conversations that you're having with your football team, do you think your football team's name should change?
I think that's a discussion for another time. And again, I feel that a guy that's, you know, my age, my era, you know, that was always part of football, the name of the Washington Redskins.
Do you mean another time from this radio show or another time with the moment? Because like a lot of monuments are changing, people are changing.
I think it's all about the moment and the timing, but you know, I'm just somebody that's from a different era that when football wasn't such a big part of the political scene. You know, that's one of the tough things for me too, is I've always wanted to try to keep that separate.
you know, people have wanted me to get involved in politics, you know, while I was coaching. And I kept telling them, you know, it's not for me to get up here and influence people. You know, I have my beliefs. I know what I think. You know, I support the movements. You know, I support the players. I believe in what they're doing. And, again, you know, I think that there are certain elements and certain things that, that's all about the timing and the best time to discuss those things.
Do you feel, Ron, like because you're Hispanic, people feel like that's your responsibility to be at the forefront of that?
I do. At times I do. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, and I get it every time I do interviews and people want to talk about my background. Is, you know, they ask me, do you feel it? I do. I feel the, I don't want to call it a burden. I feel a responsibility. And I get it, you know, because, you know, I go back home and I see a lot of young guys, see a lot of young Hispanic guys. I spoke at my high school's graduation. In fact, I spoke out and I did a virtual one for them this year. I spoke about 6 or 7 years ago. I spoke in person, and then this year I did a virtual one for them. And the school is the majority of the students are Hispanic. And I told them, I said, look, hey, if I can come from that area, you can too. You can be what you want to be, but you've got to make the commitment to go out and work and work hard at it. And I told them, I said, hey, you have that chance. I mean, it's difficult because everybody's path, everybody's road is different. Mine was different. You know, mine had its ups and its downs. It has its positives, its negatives. But, you know, we can all succeed.
How do you anticipate your team, or maybe it'll be an individual decision, handling the national anthem this year?
Well, it'll be an individual decision. You know, one thing that I did, and before I made comments to the organization, I went back and I did this. When we went out and we brought Eric Reed in, when I was in Carolina, and Eric's the other guy that initially kneeled with Colin Kaepernick, I wanted to understand. So what I did was we interviewed Eric. We talked to him only about football, and we signed him. It was all about football. Afterwards, I had gone out and I read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the amendments, the preamble, and the oath of office. And when you read all that stuff and you realize, you know, in the First Amendment, it talks about rights and freedoms, you know, freedom of speech. And then you read the second one, which is the right to bear arms, and you sit there and think, you know, well, if you're going to support, you know, because there's people out there support the Second Amendment and so strongly, and people oppose it. Well, if you're going to be strong about one amendment, you're going to be strong about them all. And so the honest truth about it is we're entitled to, because it's about free speech. So that's the way it is. So to me, you know, guys, they make their decision, they choose to do what they're going to do, and I'm going to support them because, again, it's in the Constitution. It's one of our rights. It's one of our God-given rights as an American citizen. So that's where I stood with Eric Reed and any player that wanted to do that.
If an NFL owner, Ron, I'm sorry for interrupting. If an NFL owner were to say to his team, we're going to keep it in the locker room during the anthem, I don't want to listen to the debates, would you describe that as cowardly?
No, I would say at the end of the day, it's his decision. But, you know, you're going to have to listen. I think this is one of those things where you really, truly have to listen to your players. You have to listen so you can understand. One of my favorite sayings in life is, help me understand so that I may be understood, which means basically you've got to listen. And then when I talk, you've got to listen to me.
Yeah, you know, and I think that when it comes to the football team name, I know the mayor of D.C. said something about it, and it's a dictionary-defined slur. You don't strike me as someone who is going to be afraid of that conversation. Like, you will at least listen to the argument when that conversation comes up, right?
Well, I'll just say this. I've done a lot of research on a lot of things that I do. I don't go into any conversation not prepared.
We will get into your football team at some point next time we have you on, Ron. It's just there have been so many things other than football keeping us occupied. Always great having you on board. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
But, you know, that's my point, though. Let's stick to football.
Yeah.
Let's get back to football.
It'd be
hey,
easier.
Once you guys start playing games, we'd love to talk about football with you, Chico. You guys drafted a hell of a pass rusher.
I appreciate that, guys. You guys take care.
Thanks, Ron. Be good.
That is Washington football coach Ron Rivera with us on The Score. Plenty to react to there. We'll be back. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.